nation is going to declare his glory to another. Come on, are you thankful for generational success and generational dominion? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so in this place. Clap your hands, all ye people, and shout to God with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Well, what an awesome presence of God we feel in this place tonight. We're so thankful for Jacob. And is it Elijah? Elijah, praise God. How many of you are thankful that God is still pouring out his spirit on all flesh in the last days, saith God? I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Praise God. And it feels good in the house of God on a Sunday night. We are getting over this last COVID wave. And I'm just telling you, I feel an intensity that is moving in this place. It feels like revival from the front to the back. Praise God. We're having revival in the Spanish church. We're having revival in the Sunday school, in the youth group. We're having revival in Margaret. God's pouring out his spirit. And we are thankful tonight to have a young evangelist in the Praise God. We are so thankful to have Brother Bass with us tonight, and we are so looking forward to the ministry of God. Why don't you come, Brother Bass, and preach to us? Tell us what the Holy Ghost is telling you. Come on. Why don't you clap? Give God a hand clap of praise as he comes tonight.
Go ahead and give him praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. My, my, my. Thank you, Lord. What an awesome, awesome touch of the Holy Ghost is in this house. And I absolutely enjoyed this youth choir up here getting excited about Jesus Christ. Amen. Why don't you be seated just for a few minutes? Pastor Sutton asked me if I would take a few minutes tonight before we get into the Word of the Lord and show you some pictures of what God is doing in other places. And so I have tried to minimize the number of pictures because I could stay up here for quite some time showing you many photos from around the world, places that we are in direct contact with, many of them on a daily basis. And I'm just telling you, God's doing great things everywhere. He has not been locked down this past year. He's not been shut down. Didn't matter what everybody else is doing, our God was still working in the midst of all of that. Amen. And so I'll briefly go through. I'm mainly tonight showing you pictures of people and then some projects that we have going. But in the middle of all that, I'll tell you some other things that God is doing. But the picture on the screen right now is of Pastor Chena Boka and his wife and son. They also have a daughter. He is in the country of India, the state of Andhra Pradesh. This man is, his father was an independent apostolic preacher, never had any contact with anyone in North America. He has not had anyone that he has been associated with in North America until we made contact with him. He made contact with us, and he pastors, or he oversees 93 pastors and 180 churches in the state of Andhra Pradesh. This next slide is one of projects that we have going. This is a three-story complex that is underway right now. We are currently building this building. When I was there, I went over in November of 19 and then again in February of 20. And during that, between those two visits, the property where this building is standing is just adjacent to his church building, his small church building. He had an elder Hindu man, very ill. They didn't think he was going to live. They called Pastor Chena to come and pray for him, which that in itself is a miracle. And so he went to pray for this elder man. God healed him. And when he healed him, this gentleman owned this piece of property. He donated it to the Apostolic Church in that village. That property is valued at $95,000. And so God blessed them. He showed me prints. I said, we'll help you pray. And so in May of 20, last year, the same Hindu man, his son, who is a businessman, got very sick with COVID. This is one thing we can thank God for COVID about. But he got COVID, and they were very concerned, so they called Pastor Chena back over. He prayed for him. God healed him of his sickness, and he donated 1.5 million rupees, which is equal to about 22,000 U.S. dollars. Amen. And that was the seed money for getting this building started. And so because the property was very low, they had to build very high stem walls, backfill everything. And then that same businessman came back, donated another $2,800 to pour the floor on the ground floor. And then from that time, the Lord has blessed, and I have had three different sources that has donated $70,000 toward what you see built right there. We have been able to accomplish this building at this point with $98,000. That's a miracle, my friend. Amen. When I went over in February, we had a conference. I only had about 25 to 30 pastors come in because we were limited on space and the finances to finance the meeting. And we had a number of these men that came. I didn't know this until I got there, that those men were recent men that come to the knowledge of truth. And all of them had been baptized in Jesus' name, but all of them had not received the Holy Ghost. We had in that 3 days or 3 nights and 2 days of conference, we had 8 of those pastors receive the Holy Ghost for the very first time. Amen. And during that 3-day meeting, we had a total of 38 people that received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The next picture is of a man by the name of Pastor Tandy. This man was connected with a couple in the church in Ocala, my son's church. A couple there was teaching him Bible studies, and he believed in one God. He was confused on some points. He baptized in Jesus' name. When I went the first time, he took a 24-hour train ride from one location to where he is in the state of Odisha, all the way down to where I was. And we had Bible study after Bible study. When he left, he had a clear understanding of the oneness of God. And the next picture shows a second story. This is actually a quick video here, but we're putting the second story on a building, and we're going to use that building as a training center in his state as well as a church. And so that has been a tremendous blessing. If you'll get the next slide, it shows you the roof that is being poured. That was actually done this morning. That picture that you see right there was Sunday morning, their time. And you'll see how primitive of materials that they're using or equipment they're using to pour that concrete. But the roof on that building was poured today. Amen. God is doing great things. The next slide is the young man that I baptized virtually in Gambia. Told you about him on our last trip here. We got a Bible study with him, and he had contacted me, and he understood his need of being baptized in Jesus' name. At that time, when I started, he was 21. He's 22 now. But he is standing in front of a building that we're working on right now. And if the Lord will, and the restrictions in their country are lifted, I will be going there in December, and we're going to start a church in that building right there that you see behind him. Amen. There is no apostolic church in that entire part of the country. And this young man, I have been teaching him Bible studies and training him for the past year, 1 to 2 Bible studies every week. And he has grown tremendously in God. And this is a young man that didn't know the difference between a chapter and a verse when I first started with him. Now he talks our language. He's got our vernacular down. He was listening to the service this morning and said, "Dad, I felt the Holy Ghost this morning. That was wonderful." Amen. He watched and saw the service today. Amen. He calls me Dad because his mother and dad were killed in a car wreck about 4 years ago. Left him to raise his, what is now his 14-year-old sister and his 9-year-old brother. And but God's doing wonderful things for him. The next slide, this is in the country of Gambia. This is Pastor Isaac from Uganda. This house that you see behind him is a miracle. He got a call one day from a woman that said, "Pastor, my son is in prison. He's there for life. He's there under false charges and false evidence." She said, "If you will pray, I have made a promise to God that if he will bring my son out, I'm donating one of my homes to the work of God." And so whenever two or three months later, he gets the call. She said, "Pastor, a new judge was put in that position, in that area. He opened the case back up. He found it was a false evidence and false charges. He has released my son without any more legal consideration." Hallelujah. And so she said, I've got several homes, and the one that I planned to give, she said, "The Lord let me know that was not the right one, and this is the one that I felt like." When he was donated this home, the roof was not on the house. He had to accept it with just the framework, and he gladly did. And so we have helped him to get the roof on and work done inside so they could actually move in this house. Next slide shows the property that we helped him purchase last year. And this property, the building on the right, the dark colored building, and then the building on the left, and the partially built walls, some of that will be torn down, and we will be building a brand new church building on that property. I can tell you, this young man is doing an incredible work. He just sent me a quick short video clips of, and I couldn't get them transferred from the program he sent them in. I wanted to show you. But last night, he had been called to an area of people that were hungry for truth. He drove 250 kilometers. That was the figure he gave me. I think that's around 175 miles. When he arrived, they were already in prayer meeting that went on about half the night. When he got there and began to pray with them, 7 of them received the Holy Ghost last night for the very first time. He's in a process. He's supposed to be sending me reports from today, what happened today. But he was supposed to be baptizing a number of people along with some Trinitarian pastors. There have been times when he has baptized 67 people in one weekend. 12 of them were Trinitarian pastors, and one of them was a Trinitarian bishop. This man is doing an incredible work in Uganda. The next slide. This is Bishop Mwinga. This is the man that invited us to come and teach in his conference. It was a Trinitarian organization. 8 different nations in South Africa. He has churches in those 8 nations. He asked us to come and preach on the Godhead and on baptism in Jesus' name. He had the revelation, but needed someone to come in that could articulate it, preach it, teach it we did. We went, and after 3 days, and I think I've already given you this report once before, but after 3 days, we baptized over 125 people in Jesus' name, and he was the first one. He was the first one. Amen. And so he is in the country of Zambia. The next picture shows a project that we have underway. They have just completed the pouring the floor on this building, and they're now laying blocks as of yesterday, beginning to build the walls. That building is about 60 by, I think, 80 or 85 feet. And so that's a project that we have underway right now in the country of Zambia. The next slide is a man by the name of Bishop Banda. Bishop Banda is the one that when I was teaching one day in that meeting on the Godhead, and he was interpreting. So it means that he's teaching, because he's always been a Trinitarian preacher. He's teaching a message he's never taught before. Never ever taught that message before. While he's interpreting for me on the message of the oneness of God, he gets the revelation. While he's teaching, while he's interpreting, he gets the revelation. I had the privilege of baptizing him in Jesus' name myself. This man is from the country of Malawi. He has been the personal driver of 4 Malawian presidents. So he's ran in the circles, in the upper circles in the country of Malawi. And so God is doing great things with him. Since I baptized him in Jesus' name, as of last Sunday, since that time, 2 years now, he has baptized 323 people in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Yeah. This next picture is a picture of a church that we helped him build. The people made the brick, supplied the brick and the labor, and we helped them with other materials. And then I think there's another, the next picture is the inside of the building. And when I go, I'm getting ready to do a 4-nation trip to Africa. We're going first to Uganda. We'll have services with Pastor Isaac. And then from there, we're going to Malawi, and we will have church in this building when I get there. It will be the first opportunity for me to see the building myself. But the Lord opened the door, and we purchased property adjacent to this building, and we intend to build more facilities there, because he wants to make this the Apostolic Bible Training Institute for the country of Malawi. And so that's what we've started with. That's the beginning point. Amen. And then the final set of pictures here is, this is the next slide. This is Bishop Simon Masandu. Bishop Simon has had the revelation for about 8 years now. During COVID last year, his church was bulldozed along with 26 other churches in the city of Harare. And long story short, they went back to try to rebuild the building. His building was legal, but he didn't own the property, and so they didn't want him to rebuild the church, so he was left without a building. He's been renting since then. His dream has been to have an apostolic Bible training center in Zimbabwe. That's the country that he is in. And so that's been his dream. He's talked to me about it. We've prayed about it. Just about 2 months ago, we were able to locate a school that had been shut down. We negotiated the purchase of the property, 4 acres of property with 4 buildings that are usable, 2 buildings that need roofs, and 1 building that has a slab ready to build on. Well is already in place. Everything's there. You'll see the next slide actually gives you the picture. This is a building with 3 classrooms in it. And then the next slide is a dormitory where the students lived that actually went to school there, bathrooms on each end. And then the next slide shows the administrative building. The next one shows living quarters for the teachers that taught in the school. And the next slide is of the slab that is ready to be built. And then the final one is the two buildings that need roofs. We were able to purchase this. We negotiated a price of $80,000 for all of this, which is a miracle, absolute miracle. But what is even greater is at the time, they agreed that they would take 40% down and then give us 90 days to get the balance to them. When they went in to actually do the down payment, sign the documents, they had Bishop Masandu actually had opportunity to meet the sellers. They were going through a real estate agent up to that time. Met the sellers, began to talk to them. There was a connection made. And before they walked out, they had renegotiated for $70,000 instead of $80,000. Hallelujah. And we also agreed that we would give them the balance. That was September the 15th. We said we would give you the balance in 45 days. Well, I can tell you tonight that as of this coming Friday or Saturday, we will pay off this property completely. It'll be paid for, and it will be in less than 30 days. Hallelujah. So I'm sorry you came too late to tell me that God won't work even in the middle of bad economic times. Amen. Can I get some more of that here? Hallelujah. I'm just telling you, God's got it. I said, God's got it. Whatever you need, God's got it. And so I could stand up here tonight, give you report after report after report. I could show you hundreds of pictures of people being baptized, people getting the Holy Ghost. Church services, great things going on everywhere. And I'm just telling you tonight that this is the time of revival. Amen. If the church could have revival in the book of Acts under great oppression, they lived under the tyranny of Rome and they still had a move of God. They still evangelized the whole known world. So I'm just here tonight to tell you that it doesn't matter what happened in our world tonight, today, in our time, God is still able to give us a glorious breakthrough. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Amen. I could talk about that a little bit. I could talk about the fact we're getting all worried. We're getting all upset. Quit getting worried and quit getting upset. Your God is bigger than COVID. It's bigger than the health department. He's bigger than the government. He's bigger than the restrictions. He's bigger than every situation. Come on. I said, God is bigger. God is greater. We got too many apostolics rubbing their hands together, fretting, worrying, all upset. I'll tell you what our problem is. We've had it too good for too long. I said, we have had it too good for too long. There are people working under great oppression all over this world, and they're having revival. So come on, America. Get a backbone. Let's have revival. Let's quit worrying about everything. Just turn off the news. Quit reading everything you can get your hands on and start praying. Well, praise the Lord. Let's preach a little bit here tonight. I may only be preaching to one person tonight, but if I can see that individual turn around, it'll be worth this whole message. Come on, we're out to save everybody. We don't want to leave anybody behind. We don't want anybody to backslide. We don't want anybody to walk out on God. If we can turn one person around tonight in this service, it will be worth what we have done here tonight. So I'm reading from Acts chapter 27, verse 21. And after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. But now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, 'Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God has given thee all them that sail with thee.' Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." We could use a little bit of that faith today. "Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight, the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. When they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, 'Except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved.' Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off." Just for a few minutes tonight, I'm going to reach for somebody in this house because I feel this very strong in the Holy Ghost. I'm going to preach on this thought: cut the ropes. Amen. Cut the ropes. And everybody shout amen. Amen. One more time, give God a great praise. God bless you. You can be seated. I read a news article that asked a question, and it's been some time back when I read it, but it asked the question, "Are we becoming a nation of quitters?" And the article was about our nation's efforts at space exploration, and specifically the exploration of the moon. And this article described how that NASA had outlined plans for some 20 lunar landings under the auspices of our Apollo space program, each one carrying more risk, but promising a greater knowledge of the moon. However, due to budget cuts, the program was prematurely abandoned. And according to those who had dreams of walking on the moon, they felt like that we had become a nation of quitters. And so I read the article and began to think about it later, and I didn't copy it, and so I wanted to find it. I went looking for it. So I did what all of us do. I Googled the article, and I discovered something quite interesting. I discovered that this business of being quitters was not just isolated to the space program, but it had invaded every aspect of our society. I've found many articles that used the same terminology in relation to the subject that they were addressing or that they were writing about. Whether it was the political world, they talked about how that we were a nation of quitters in the political realm. Where marriage relationships are concerned, we are, they said, a nation of quitters. They dealt with careers in every type of industry, or even the medical world, people doing medical research and trying to discover better ways of doing things from a medical standpoint, and how that they were giving up in their studies and in their investigations. They even talk about how in one article I read that something as simple as reading, they stated that many people, when they read content, they stop after only 2 minutes of reading. They just quit because the content is too in-depth, and they just didn't want to bother with trying to grasp what was being explained or the concept that was being conveyed. But what was even more intriguing to me is the fact that this problem is not just confined to the United States. I noted that there were bloggers and journalists and columnists from many countries around the world that wrote from the same perspective. They were bemoaning this pervasive attitude of simply quitting or giving up. And I realize it's a worldwide problem. It's a human problem. And that's much of what we're dealing with in our world tonight. I don't think any one of us would deny the fact that too many people around us give up too quickly. Pastor and I were talking on the way to service tonight about the fact that he teaches and he talks about and preaches to you about the process, and how that you gotta stick with the process until you get to where God wants you to be, or you develop in life the way that you ought to develop. But the issue is that there are far too many people that are willing to give up in the middle of the process. They're not willing to stay the course. They're not willing to make the commitment. We have a world tonight that, it seems to me, as I understand it, 1 out of 2 marriages are failing because people don't want to do what is necessary to have a good marriage. Just throw up their hands and quit and say, what's the use? Can I tell you tonight, friend, if we're not careful, this attitude can invade the church to a point where that people start given up. A spirit of backsliding can move into a church. It is not time for us to have a spirit of backsliding. It's a time to have a spirit of revival. We need in gathering and not a loss. Amen. But what I noticed in my reading about quitters is their main problem in the world of quitters is that they quit because they have an alternative in mind. They don't have just plan A. They also have plan B. And in some cases, they have plan C. If this doesn't work, then I'll go to this. And if this doesn't work, then I'm going to go to this. They got to come to a point where you make up your mind. Living for God is plan A, and I don't have another plan. I don't have another plan beside plan A. If this don't work, I don't have any other plans. Does anybody feel that way here tonight? And so in our text tonight, Paul is on a ship and he is in a storm. Now, I understand what I'm about to say is to many of you probably old hat, and you've heard the reference before, but it still is right and good for us tonight to hear it one more time. And that is that before this ship ever sailed, Paul warned them that this journey will be with much hurt. He warned them, don't listen to the false winds that blow and give you the feeling that it's a good time to sail this boat. Stay where you are. That's why Paul made the statement. He said, sirs, you should have hearkened
unto me and never left the place called Crete, and to have gained this harm and this loss. Can I tell some young people tonight? Can I tell some young marriage tonight that you've got to believe in the voice of your man of God? When your man of God begins to warn you, when your man of God begins to talk to you, there's some storms that you don't have to go through. There's storms that you will never face if you will listen to the preacher when he's reaching for you and trying to help you.
Amen. There's storms you don't have to go through if you'd listen to the man of God. And so Paul said, you should have stayed. You should have remained where you were. He said, but I am here to tell you some good news. Be of good cheer. There's not going to be anybody's life that's going to be lost. The ship will be, but it's not nothing else. And no one is going to die as a result of this. I have a confirmation. The angel of the Lord, whose I am, has already given me a word. And so I can tell you, everything is going to be all right. However, what you will notice here is that as it progresses and things look, it starts getting the worst. Things began to get worse than what they were. There were those in the ship that decided, I can't take this storm any longer. I can't take the possibility of things happening, going south any longer. I'm telling you, we've got to do something. And they start making the move to get out of the boat. And Paul says, they better stay in the boat, because if they don't stay in the boat, they're not going to be saved. And I can tell you tonight, child of God, I can tell you, young man, young lady, stay in the ship. I don't care what the storm is. I don't care what your trouble is. I don't care what problems are that you're facing. Stay in the boat. Hallelujah. I said, stay in the boat. Don't get out of the church now. Don't walk out now. Don't leave now. This is no time to walk out on God. It's no time to leave the church. It's no time to backslide. It's time to make up your mind. Whatever happens in my life, I'm holding on. Whatever takes place, I'm holding on. Whatever. Amen. And so you'll notice they started making plans to bail out. And the reason is because they had a plan B on board. They had an alternative on board. And it's called a lifeboat. I read to you from Acts 27 how that it said that the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship. And when they had let down the boat into the sea, under color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said, except these abide in the ship. Now listen, when you look at that verse in another translation, here is what that verse says, and it's a little more clear. As the sailors were trying to escape secretly from the ship and were lowering the small boat into the sea, pretending that they were going to lay out anchors from the bow. What that text is telling us is that these men were pretending to do one thing while they were actually planning to do something else. And that is where this idea of an alternative comes in. The idea of a plan B. We've got too many young people. We've got too many young marriages that are pretending one thing but actually planning to do something else. I've come to warn you tonight that end result is not going to be in your favor. The end result is not going to save your soul. I'm preaching to some young people tonight. Stay in the boat. Stay in the church.
quit pretending to live for God. Amen. I'm just going to tell you, I don't normally do this. I don't normally give the devil any press. But I'm going to go ahead and jerk the covers off of him tonight. There is a spirit that would like to resist. That's not coming from you. It's the spirit realm that would like to resist this message getting to the heart of some young people here tonight. But we've got to wake up and realize that in the world that we live in, the lure of the world is strong. The lure of sin is strong. The attraction of everything going on in the world is overwhelming to a lot of young people. And part of the issue is they're pretending to live for God while all the while they're making plans of doing something else, of going a different direction. Can this preacher tonight cry out to you and say, don't do it. Don't do it. Quit pretending. Quit playing games. Quit playing games. Quit pretending that you're doing the right things, making your parents feel like everything's all right with you, making your friends think everything's sweet, everything's cool. You're just gonna hang in there. All the while, you're dreaming about doing other things. Your mind is set going a different direction. You hear this preacher tonight when I tell you that when I read about Lot, and Lot lifted up his eyes and saw the well-watered plains of Sodom and Gomorrah. You hear me when I tell you that wasn't the first time that he had looked at the plains of Sodom and Gomorrah. He had looked at them in times past without a doubt. So it was that whenever he was forced to make a decision, and Abraham said, you choose whatever way you want to go. He chose the well-watered plains of Sodom and Gomorrah. Because you hear me, you will go the direction that you're looking in. You will go the direction that your heart is set on. Praise the Lord. You'll go the direction you're looking. You're looking at the world, that's the direction you're going to go. Amen. I'm telling you, there was a lifeboat. And Paul said, if they don't change their mind, if they don't change their direction, they're going to lose it. I want to read to you tonight from the book of Ezekiel chapter 8 and verse 16. This is a picture of what I'm trying to preach here tonight. It said, he brought me into the inner court of the Lord's house. And behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs toward the temple of the Lord. And their faces were toward the east. And they worship the sun toward the east. The 25 men are actually referencing the younger generation of that time, that the Lord showed Ezekiel the spiritual state that they were in. He is telling Ezekiel, he said, they are in the temple. They are between the porch and the altar. But their problem is they've got their backs toward the temple and their faces toward the east, and they're worshiping the sun toward the east. Here was their problem. They were in the right place but facing the wrong direction. And you can be in church tonight and be facing the wrong direction. You're in the right place. You're in the right facility. You're in the right congregation. Hallelujah. I said, you're in the right place, but you're facing the wrong direction. This preacher here tonight is coming to you to tell you, turn around. I said, turn around. Turn around. Quit looking at the world. The world has nothing to offer you. The world doesn't have joy. The world doesn't have peace. The world doesn't have righteousness. Moses realized sin was just for a season. It's only going to last for so long. I'm going to tell you, friend, the only thing the world's got for you is shame. It's got guilt. It's got degradation. It'll drag you through the mud. It'll put you face down in life. Oh, no. Hey, I'm feeling something in the Holy Ghost right now. Hallelujah. Oh, no. Oh, no. You're like Samson. Amen. You're like Samson. Your problem is you're exactly like Samson. Samson said to Delilah, if you'll tie me up with 7 green withs that have never been used before, I'll be weak like any other man. He went through several of those statements. And finally, he said, if you'll cut the hair on my head, which was the sign of his consecration to God, he said, I'll be weak like any other man. This is what Samson's problem was. Samson thought that the worst thing that could happen to him is he would lose his strength. He would lose his ability to fight. That's the worst thing that could happen to him. What he didn't see was that his eyes got put out, that he was tied to a millstone and made to walk round and around like a beast of burden, bound as a slave to the Philistines. You think the worst thing that can happen if you backslide is you'll lose your seat in church and you're just going to go out there and be like everybody else. The devil will never let you, as a child of God who has been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, he will never let you just go out there and be just like all the other sinners. I got news for you. When you walk away, he's going to take you down and further down and further down. He's going to remove all semblance of the Holy Ghost in your life. He's going to remove all semblance of the Spirit of God working in you. He's going to destroy your holiness. He's going to scar your life for life. Amen. You're like Judas. Amen. You think that the worst thing that can happen to you is you'll lose your place among the 12 if I betray Jesus. That's the worst thing that can happen. What Judas didn't see was the fact that he would be tumbling down the side of a cliff after he had hung himself, and at the bottom his bowels would be gushed out on the rocks below. I know it's heavy right now, but I'm trying to save somebody in this place. I've walked in this service here tonight realizing that God sent me here with a mandate to tell a young person, don't do it, don't do it. Turn around. Quit looking at Sodom. Quit looking at Gomorrah. Quit looking at the world. Quit toying with your walk with God. Quit playing games in your relationship with God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me tell you what your answer is. I'm going to tell you what your answer is. That's what I've come to preach to you, what your answer is. Your answer is the same answer Paul gave to those soldiers. Amen. They better change their mind. They better turn around. And the soldiers went down there and cut the ropes and let alternative B, let plan B float away, and left them with only one plan, and that was hanging on to the ship, hanging on to the boat. I've come to tell you tonight, young man, young lady, cut the rope. I said cut the rope. Cut the rope to your alternative. Cut the rope to your plans. Cut the rope to your ideas. Cut the rope. Come on. I need some parents to help me here tonight. I need some adults to help me here tonight to pray, God, turn my baby around. Turn my teenager around. Turn my young man around. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Cut the rope. I said, cut the rope. You're living with plan A, but you got plan B in mind. You're saying, yeah, I'm going to church until I turn 18 years old. And when I turn 18 years old, I'll go get my own friends. And I'll live the kind of life I want to live. Ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. This preacher's telling you tonight, cut the ropes. I said, cut the rope. Cut the rope to your alternative. Make up your mind right now. I'm living for God. I'm living for God. Hallelujah. Someone said, but what if this living for God don't work out? I don't have another plan. I said, I don't have another plan. If this living for God don't work out, I don't know what else I'll do, because there ain't nothing else in my mind. I don't even know which way I would go. I don't know where. I don't even know what road I would take. I'm just here tonight to tell you that you got to come to a point where you have one plan and one plan only. Quit being a quitter. I said, quit being a quitter. Amen. There are those that come to church and they decide, well, let me just store my worldly clothes. I'm going to store my jewelry. I'm going to store my makeup. I'm going to store my worldly attire just in case this business of living for God don't work out. No, friend. Amen. Like the guy that put his pipe up on the refrigerator and said, I'm just going to put it up there to prove to the devil I can live for God. You know what you got to do when you come to God? You got to decide. I'm getting rid of everything that would ever tempt me. I'm going to get this because my mind is made up. I wish I had some young ladies that would say, preacher, I believe what you're saying. My mind is made up. I'm living for God. I don't care what it takes. I wish I had some young men that would say, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm in it. I'm in it. You can remain standing. The Bible tells us that the Apostle Paul went to a place and began to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when it was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, the land of Ephesus is where he was, fear fell on every one of them. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And there were many that believed, came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. Does it sound like people that are worried about going back to where they came from? Oh no. Those that were involved in spiritism, those that were involved in devil worship, those that used curious arts, whenever they got the Holy Ghost, they said, here, I'm burning my books. I'm burning my books. I'm getting rid of some stuff. Hallelujah. I'm feeling tempted to do something right now. And if I do, I'm going to disrupt some stuff. But that's all right. I'm just going to have to disrupt some stuff. Some of us need to say, you know what? I'm tired of it. I'm getting rid of some stuff. Hey, man, it's over with me. I'm done. I'm throwing it all on the altar. It belongs to Jesus tonight. I don't care what I got to do. I'm living for God. I'm burning my books. I'm tossing the world away. Hallelujah. I don't want anything that looks like the world. I don't want anything that looks like sin. Praise the Lord. I'm getting rid of my teen magazines. Lord, I feel Holy Ghost in the house. I'm done. I'm done with all the stuff of the world. I'm sick and tired of what sin has done to me. Come on now, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It wouldn't hurt some of us to take our phones and shut down social media. Hallelujah. Put it on the altar and say, I'm done. I gotta live for God. I'm tired of being tempted. Huh? Cut the rope. I said, cut the rope. Cut the rope. Cut the rope. Come on. Come on. I feel something happening in the Holy Ghost right now. Keep throwing ropes tonight, and glory to God. I don't want you to throw it down. I want you to hang on to it. I want you to wave in the devil's face, and I want you to say, I've cut my rope. If you ain't gonna cut it, then don't take it. Don't take the rope if you ain't gonna cut it. You got a rope. You ought to get up here right now and start shouting about this tonight. Young man, you gotta get a hold of this tonight. You ought to say, I'm done. I'm done. Come on. I'm done. I'm done. I know what I feel in the Holy Ghost. Hey, young ladies, come on. There's another rope. Cut the rope. Cut the rope. Cut the rope. Cut the alternative. I'm done with drugs. I'm done with alcohol. I'm done with pornography. I'm done with social media. I'm done. I'm done. I'm done with playing games. Hey! Yeah, 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 yeah. Come on, boys. If you got a piece of rope up here, you ought to shout about it. You need to wave in the devil's face. Wave it in his face. Come on. We're going to keep cutting ropes. We ain't done yet. We're going to keep cutting ropes here tonight. We'll be right back. boys. Come on, boys. Cut loose with the Holy Ghost. You need to get drunk on the Spirit tonight. Get drunk on the Holy Ghost tonight. Come on, I know what I'm feeling. I know what the Holy Ghost is doing. Cut the rope. Cut the rope. Cut the rope. Get rid of your alternative. Come on. Get rid of your alternative. Make up your mind. I'm living for God tonight. I'm living for God. I'm living for God. My mind is made up. Yeah. He loved my yeah. Come on, boys. Come on. Praise him. Wave that thing in the devil's face. You didn't let the devil know I'm done. I'm going to stay in the boat. I'm going to stay in the ship. Tonight, we need to break some things. We need to help these young ladies, help these young men cut their rope tonight. Cut their rope. Make up their mind they're living for God. Make up their mind they're going to walk with God. Make up their mind they're not going to play games any longer. The devil's face. You need to tell the devil tonight, I've cut the rope. I've cut the rope to the alternative. I've made my mind up. I got one plan. Plan A. Plan A. No other plan. No other plan. Praise singers, sing with anointing. Come on, sing with power. Sing with power. Sing with anointing right now. Break some yokes. Break some yokes. Destroy some yokes. Come on. Church, don't stop. I'm asking you to raise it up a little higher. Come on, let's go a little more intense with our praise. Go a little more intense with your worship right now. Come on, let's go more intense. Come on, let's get intense with our worship. Get intense with your praise. Don't just say hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. Come on, come on. Let's get intense. Let's get intense. Let's get intense. Come on, young ladies. Get intense with your prayer. Get intense with your worship. Get intense. Yeah. God's a liar. He's lying to our young people. He's lying to our young males. He's lying to our young men, to our young ladies. Come on, let's defeat him tonight. Let's defeat him. Cut the rope. Come on, young man, cut the rope. Come on, young lady. Come on, young married couple. Young married couple, cut the rope tonight. Church, this is not a game tonight. This is life or death. This is life or death. This is heaven or hell. This is heaven or hell. Come on. Let's don't play games right now. Let's break through in the Holy Ghost. Take dominion. Somebody take authority in the name of Jesus. Take authority in the name of Jesus. Take dominion in the name of Jesus. Take dominion in the name of Jesus. Young lady, come on, young men, quit pretending. Come on, quit pretending. Quit pretending. Make up your mind right now. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna live for God. I'm tired of being influenced by the wrong people, by the wrong things. I'm making my mind up. I'm living for God, whatever it takes. I'm gonna break through in the Holy Ghost. I'm gonna break through in the Holy Ghost. It's plan A from now on. No plan B. No plan B. Church, the Holy Ghost still working. The Holy Ghost still working. Don't stop yet. The Holy Ghost is still working. We've got young men laying in the floor. We've got young men laying on the altar. We got young ladies laying on the floor tonight. Come on. Don't stop. Don't stop. There's got to be a breakthrough tonight. There's got to be something happen in some of these young ladies' lives. Some of these young men's lives. Hallelujah. Come on, you're in the right place. Turn around. Turn around. Face the right direction. If the Holy Ghost is not finished, the Holy Ghost is not finished. Let's keep it on. Yeah. Come on. It's not finished yet. The Holy Ghost is still working. There's still young people reaching out. There's still young people crying out. There's still young people reaching. While we're still worshiping tonight, I want to encourage these young people. This was something that I felt like the Holy Ghost did. I want to encourage you. If you got a piece of that rope, take it home with you. Put it in your car. Put it on your dresser. Put it somewhere that you can be reminded every day. I'm making my mind up. I'm living for God. Amen. Cut that rope. Take it every day. You need to say, I'm cutting the rope. I'm cutting the rope to my temptations. I'm cutting the rope to everything the world's trying to lure me with. I'm encouraging you tonight. Take it with you. Take it with you. And let's live for God. Let's have revival. Revival among the youth. Revival in the city. Hallelujah. Let's worship Him one more time. Church, lift your voice and praise Him.